Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show here on the BBS Radio Network, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you. If you'd like to call into the show, the phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. And another few words about our ongoing technical difficulties. I had thought that the podcasts of my shows were the problem, but apparently they are merely the recordings of the live transmissions, which are being transmitted, at least my dialogue, at a slower speed than regular internet speeds. At least that's what I'm understanding. And I'm working to try to correct that. Hopefully we will have a better technical situation with the show today. We will find out. But I ask you to please bear with me as I continue to try to correct the problems. Okay. We're hoping to have a caller, my friend Cato. I'm hoping he will call back a little later on in the show. He had called us a couple of shows ago and had some interesting things to say about communism. And he has been monitoring the media, I believe the Taiwanese and also the Hong Kong media, as well as the official state Chinese communist government media regarding the situation in Hong Kong. So if he does call in, I hope he will. We'll take a break from the other subject matter and get his insights on that. But to begin with today, I'd like to continue with my discussion from the last show on where the left in America gets its power. I pointed out how millions, tens of millions, are thoroughly brainwashed with the left's ideology, having been brought up with it and bombarded with it daily, although often subtly, through the left's domination of much of the American media and popular culture. As just one example of this, through its virtual domination of the mainstream media, Hollywood, and American pop culture, the left keeps chipping away at Americans' love of country and belief in national sovereignty, and tens of millions follow along with this. Let's listen to some excerpts from a recent talk related to this by conservative talk radio host Rush Limbaugh, discussing a new project of the New York Times that aims to reframe American history to reflect that almost everything exceptional about America is based on slavery and exploitation. Please play soundbite one.
The Russia collusion hoax is dead. It died. It failed. They did not get rid of Trump. Impeachment failed. It's gone. Every hope, everything that they had developed to get rid of Trump was wrapped up in Russian collusion and the Mueller report, and so it failed. Therefore, they have to move on to something else. Do you know what the something else is? You do, without me telling you. Trump is a racist. All white people are white supremacists and white nationalists. So 6 days ago, on the 13th of August, there was a tweet, little noticed, from an info babe at the New York Times. In the days and weeks to come, it begins, we will publish essays demonstrating that nearly everything that has made America exceptional grew out of slavery. Since Trump-Russia collusion failed, an attack on America as racist since its founding is now the new project at the New York Times. This demonstrates how the drive-by media and the rest of the Democrats are trying to turn the founding of this country into a sin. That the modern-day left believes America was founded unjustly, that America was founded in immorality, that there is no American greatness, there is no American exceptionalism because it's been built on the back of minorities or that we stole from other nations. There's nothing legitimate about America. Now, as part of this effort, the New York Times has started something called the 1619 Project. The New York Times says that the project aims to reframe the country's history, understanding the year 1619 as our true founding, and placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of black Americans at the very center of the story. 1619, by the way, if you're wondering why they're calling it that, 1619, 400th anniversary, by the way. That's when slaves were first brought to this continent. So the New York Times said that's the day America was founded, when slavery was brought to the... There wasn't even a United States then. There weren't even the 13 colonies then. And yet the New York Times is claiming that this year is the 400th anniversary of that event. The Times has created this 1619 project. It aims to reframe the country's history, understanding 1619 as our true founding. And imagine that most of American journalism now in the next 18 months, 14 months, is going to be devoted to a story about how America isn't great, America's flawed, America's unjust, America is immoral, leading up to a presidential election. They hope Democrats are going to win. So how do they think this is going to play out? We got Donald Trump, who they have been unable to damage, unable to hurt, unable to get rid of. I guess we've got to tear America down and rebuild it, which is exactly the agenda of the left. And that's what Obama meant by being a transformative president. These people have believed the New York Times is actually not leading anything here. They are just codifying it. 65 million people voted for Donald Trump on the premise of making America great again, recapturing America from the globalists who want to weaken the country, get rid of the concept of nation states, evaporate our borders, flood the country with all kinds of people that don't live here for the purposes of watering down the U.S. in a whole bunch of ways. Donald Trump comes along, make America great again, wins against all expectations, 66, 67 million votes in the process, a clear electoral college advantage. And now the left thinks the way to beat Trump is to tell the people of this country that their country is a fraud, that their country is not exceptional and isn't great. This is not just a project to get rid of Trump. That's the immediate aim. This is their objective for as far out as you can see. There are countless other stories today of Democrat candidates and Democrat elected officials joining the movement now to proclaim Trump and his supporters, and in fact, all of America, nothing but a racist sewer that needs to finally be admitted to and cleaned out.
Well, there you have some of what Rush had been talking about on this subject. As he said there at the end, is a racist sewer that needs to be admitted to and cleaned up. That's our country, folks. The New York Times has 4.7 million digital-only subscribers and undoubtedly hundreds of thousands of paper print subscribers as well. Their influence in American culture is enormous, and as Rush Limbaugh pointed out, they what they do is often picked up and run with by the rest of the media. And there is an example of how people are being conditioned to hate this country and to turn towards socialism. Now we have a caller back with us, Cato, I believe, on the phone line. Are you with us, Cato?
Hi, James. This is Cato. Thank you for taking my call.
Great. Thank you for calling. Cato was with us a few shows ago offering his insights into communism, since he and his family were victims of this monstrous ideology. And I asked him to come back to discuss the situation in Hong Kong today, since that's a flashpoint in the world today of the struggle between socialism and freedom. I believe, Cato, that you've been monitoring both the Hong Kong and Taiwanese media about the situation there, as well as the official state communist Chinese media. Is that true?
Hi, James. Yeah, thank you. James, I want to let you and your audience know that on August 18, last Sunday, President Trump saved the people of Hong Kong from a Chinese military crackdown. And let me tell you and your audience the whole story. As you might recall, the week before August 18, Hong Kong protesters occupied the international airport in Hong Kong for 2 days. because they want to bring their plight to the attention of the international community. And the Chinese communists were furious about that. They said the Hong Kong protesters were like terrorists, and their action actually threatened the national security of China. So the following day, when President Trump was asked about it by the press, President Trump said he believed that the Chinese president, President Xi Jinping, if he wants to, he can resolve the issue in a humane way. And also, President Trump said he does not want anyone to be injured or killed. Then, soon after that, Secretary Pompeo, in another occasion, told the audience that there's credible intelligence that the Chinese are massing the troops along the Hong Kong-Chinese border. And on Tuesday, there will be August 20th, the Central News Agency in Taiwan is reporting that they estimate the strength of the Chinese build-up to be around 10,000. And these are not so-called paramilitary or police riot troops as reported by the mainstream media. They actually include special forces. One of the units is called the Snow Leopard, and that used to be deployed in the western part of China to suppress the independent movement of the Uyghurs. And of course, you know, western China used to be known as Chinese Turkestan. And this special unit was notorious for their brutality. And they are now at the border just next to Hong Kong. And their commander claimed that once they get the order, it takes them only 10 minutes to cross the border. And then, the day after that, the Chinese went on the propaganda offensive. They alleged the United States and Taiwan as the true sponsor of the Hong Kong protest. They alleged the United States is sponsoring a color revolution. The aim is to, in the short term, topple the Hong Kong government, and in the long term, regime change in Beijing. And then they spread the rumors that the reason why these young protesters seem to be so brave, even when they are fired at point blank by the Hong Kong police with rubber bullets, is because each confrontation they were paid by the U.S. to the amount of 12,000 Hong Kong dollars. That's roughly about 2,000 U.S. dollars. So that's the rumor they are spreading. So then on Tuesday, President Trump, I forgot whether he went on Twitter or he told his White House press, he said Xi Jinping could have easily resolved the issue in 15 minutes if he agreed to sit down with the Hong Kong protesters. Then came Friday. Friday was a very, for me, a scary day, because everybody in Hong Kong and Taiwan is expecting something, some announcement by the Chinese. And sure enough, Friday night, Saturday morning, Beijing released what they call a final warning to the protesters in Hong Kong, calling them nothing more than walking dead, breathing their last breath. And they will see what is true Chinese justice when they are crushed by invisible Chinese might. Then they also released a statement saying that they have the legal right to take over Hong Kong and replace Hong Kong law with Chinese law. So rumors were flying all around that D-Day for the Chinese will be Sunday, August 18th. And I tell you, I couldn't sleep all night until Saturday morning, when I turned on the news and I heard President Trump say that if the Chinese want to have a trade deal with the U.S., they must not do violence. But that was President Trump's direct word. He also mentioned that the Chinese must not have another Tiananmen Square. When I heard the president said that, I feel a little reassured. And in the afternoon, Vice President Mike Pence, in another occasion, told the audience, if the U.S. were to trust China to honor international agreements that they signed, the Chinese must first honor the agreement they signed with the British in 1983, the Sino-British agreement that guaranteed the integrity of Hong Kong. And I know that point, that President Trump and President Mike Pence and the entire team is working behind the scene to save Hong Kong. And Sunday, come Sunday, August 18th, when the Chinese were hinting that the day they will cross the border, and I can report to everyone, it's all quiet on the Hong Kong-Chinese front. And on the same day, 1.7 million Hong Kong citizens walked on the street on a peaceful protest to free Hong Kong from the communists. And I'm so grateful to President Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and the entire administration, Secretary Pompeo. They worked so hard to save the life of the... of the Hong Kong people, and we owe them, every Hong Kong person, regardless of political persuasion, whether you are pro-China or pro-democracy, we owe President Trump, Vice President Trump, Mike Pence, Secretary Pompeo. James, I'm sorry, I have to go. I'm sorry, I cannot control myself.
No, it's all right. Don't worry. I understand. It's a very emotional thing for you because you're from Hong Kong and you were originally born. I think your family is from the mainland. And I know this has been a very difficult time for all of you. So we definitely appreciate your coming on and talking about it. I am very worried myself about what might happen there because I know they want to – I believe the mainland Chinese government, the communists want to come and take it over. And they would severely punish the people who have been opposing their some of these things they want to do, among them being to impose their law on the Chinese, on the high Hong Kong population and being able to take them to the mainland and force them to suffer the consequences of Chinese law on punishment. I was wondering if what you think about the future now is going to happen. I've been listening to Gordon Chang, who's an American attorney and written a book predicting the collapse of mainland China, but it didn't happen when he said it was a few years back. He said that just recently that he thought Xi Jinping was waiting until around October after these celebrations and so forth of the 70th anniversary of the Communist Chinese Revolution, a takeover of China, mainland China, in order to have that out of the way. And then he was going to deal with the people in Hong Kong. And so it seems like we may still be seeing – they may still be facing there an invasion. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you are right because October 1st, the Chinese Communists will be celebrating the 70th anniversary of they're taking over China in 1949, October 1st. It's a big thing for them. And as you know, Xi Jinping basically crowned himself the emperor for life. So for him, he cannot afford to have any international embarrassment. And they are trying their best either to suppress the protesters with brute force or try to buy off some of their leadership. This time, the protesters have no so-called central leadership. It's all done through the social media. So, I know people in Hong Kong, they also try every which way to bring down Carrie Lam. I heard someone floated the idea that we should go to the international court and file a lawsuit against Carrie Lam to force her because obviously she has the backing of Beijing. But we can freeze her property, which she has a lot of property overseas, especially in England. That might be a way to force her to beef up some of her power. But yes, we are very nervous about October 1st coming because we know the Chinese Communists cannot stand having the protests go beyond that date, and it's still ongoing. And yesterday, for the first time, the Hong Kong police fired a live shot with the guns. So it's escalating. And I just pray.
I certainly hope that the situation can be resolved peacefully. I would hope that the protesters can contain themselves to a certain extent so that they don't force the hand of the communists. I know you talked about Carrie Lam, the leader of Hong Kong, but we'll have to see how this plays out. Of course, everyone is hoping and praying for the best. It's a very serious situation. I'm hoping that – I know Trump is doing everything he can in his administration to have a peaceful resolution of this. So, well, Cato, thank you so very much for coming on and giving us that interesting perspective on what's going on. I know you're following this, and hopefully we will be able to have you back on again. I greatly appreciate your taking your time to come and be on my show.
James, before I go, I have a last comment, and I have listened to your show since you started the show every time, and every time I learn something new that changed my perspective. And you remind me of those ancient Jewish prophets in the Old Testament yelling at the top of their voice in the wilderness, warning people against evil and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And I think you are doing a wonderful job. And James, please keep up the good work, and I'll be listening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, and thank you again. I greatly appreciate those comments. Well, moving on to other matters here. As you just heard from Rush Limbaugh, the New York Times, again, is initiating a project to try to convince the American public and get it in the curriculum. He said at some point, not on that recording that I made, but that they want to have this curriculum for the schools where we consider our actual founding of this country, 1619, when slaves were first brought to America, what is now America. There was not even any colonies, 13 colonies then, but they want this pegged as the beginning of the country and all sorts of evil having supposedly coming from that. You know, even though there are millions of people out there who buy into this and support the left's agenda, in some cases there's still not enough. This is still not enough to get the political support needed by leftists to get and hold power. So then leftists fall back on their longstanding base, mass legal and illegal immigration of desperately poor, uneducated people from the third world. As I asked on the last show, are you naive enough to believe that the left's ongoing crusade to bring ever more desperately poor, uneducated, legal, and illegal aliens into this country is because of selfless goodwill and the desire to help these poor souls? It's really because these people primarily support the left and vote for the leftist and leftist ideology when they become citizens, as well as, I believe, widespread, as well as illegally, when they are not yet citizens. And this brings me to the issues of vote fraud, including illegal non-citizen voting. There's growing evidence for this and that it has played a part in this country's recent elections. Consider, for example, this article on the subject published August 10th on Newsmax.com. The article is titled, "Yes, Illegal Aliens Are Voting." Its author is Tom Fitton, president of the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch. "It's now officially an issue," Fitton says, "illegal aliens are voting. President Trump has announced a major investigation into the charges and countercharges surrounding this phenomenon. At Judicial Watch, however, it's nothing new. We've had our eye on this for years, and our election integrity project was active in monitoring polling places in the most recent elections. I was interviewed some time ago when the issue was first raised around the November election by Breitbart Daily News about illegal voting, and I want to share that with you. Here's a report at Breitbart on the interview." On Breitbart Daily News, Sirius XM host Alex Marlowe asked Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton about a study from the Center for Immigration Studies that revealed that, quote, "there could be as many as 43 million non-citizens in the United States right now," unquote. Fitton had previously spotlighted this study on Twitter as evidence of potential voter fraud issues. quote, there's 43 million people who are not citizens and are ineligible to vote, but a good percentage of them do register to vote, and of those that do, some vote, Fitton explained. Most tend to vote Democrat. It's a fact, he continued. There's been a study out of Old Dominion University that shows it is enough of a vote to sway elections one way or another. It may have resulted in election specifically of Al Franken to the United States Senate and all the bad things politically or public policy-wise that happened as a result, like Obamacare and things like that. And he continues, are we supposed to be so naive as to think that tens of millions of people are here, present in the United States, and none of them are illegally voting? Continuing, he says, in states where you don't have voter ID, in states where most voter registration, you are not required to certify citizenship other than signing and saying you're a citizen. It happens repeatedly where you have these voter registrations signed by aliens because they shouldn't be voting, so they're registered to vote. And the irony is, once they're registered to vote, voter ID ain't going to protect you, he asked. He noted. Continuing on, he says, because they have the ID necessary to vote once they're registered, so you have many non-citizens voting in elections, and they vote in large numbers in a way to sway elections. The number of non-citizens in the United States are at record proportions. It's about as big as it's been in 105 years, according, I think, to CIS, the Center for Immigration Studies, he observed. It is looking at U.S. Census data, and there's just been this massive uptick just even the last few years. And it's not just illegal aliens we're talking about. Aliens who are here legally who are also voting illegally, potentially, Fitton added. The article goes on to state, if the key Old Dominion study results in the 2008 election are applied to 2016, 1.4 million aliens may have voted illegally, with 1.13 million voting for Democrats. A federal vote fraud investigation is long overdue, Mr. Fitton said. It would be a simple matter of analyzing voter registration databases against federal databases of aliens and deceased individuals. President Trump is right. A full-scale, nonpartisan federal voter fraud investigation is long overdue. Now, the political left, that is the Democratic Party and its allies, through their control of the mainstream media, poo-poos the idea of vote fraud at every opportunity. And why wouldn't they? For the left, the ends justify the means. So along the road to their dreams of utopia, what if it's accomplished by vote fraud, among other means? Of course they don't want you to know this, so they do everything possible to obfuscate the matter and decry any information on it as unnecessary and irrelevant. Now, California, home to more illegal aliens than anywhere else, is dominated politically by the Democratic Party. More than 1 million illegal aliens have been issued driver's licenses in California. Under the state's motor voter law, citizens are automatically registered to vote when issued driver's license. We're told by California officials there are safeguards in place to prevent illegals from being registered to vote, however. An article in January 2018 on PolitiFact.com refuted the idea that illegals are being registered to vote in California elections. The article quotes a spokeswoman with a California DMV as saying she's contacted several websites making what she called completely inaccurate claims and asked for corrections. She states, undocumented Californians are not eligible to register to vote at the DMV, and we have programming measures in place to prevent that from occurring. At DMV field offices, she said, technicians are not able to key in any voting information for undocumented customers seeking AB60 license renewals. That was the law that granted illegal aliens driver's licenses. As soon as a technician types in AB60, the voter information section automatically gets grayed out and can't be typed into and can't be bypassed, the spokeswoman said. She added that the same safeguards are in place for online and mail renewals. Quote, the mail form won't even have the voter information questions on it, so they won't be able to register to vote, she said. Now, I'd like to believe that all this is working as stated, but first let's look at the source of the information here in this article. What is PolitiFact? In his recent new book, L. Brent Bozell III, called Unmasked, Big Media's War Against Trump. Bozell, by the way, is the head of the Conservative Media Research Center. He talks about Politica Fact, and he states, quote, "The most blatantly biased fact checker is PolitiFact, which began as a project of the liberal newspaper, the St. Petersburg Times, later the Tampa Bay Times. It's now a project of the nonprofit Poynter Institute, which also owns the newspaper. PolitiFact has been sustained by large grants from liberal foundations that include the Ford Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the leftist Craig Newmark Foundation," he points out. Well, so obviously there's a bias there. There's bias everywhere, of course, but you need to keep that in mind when you see this refutation of what's going on. I'll have more to say about this in some other articles here as we go further down into the program. But regardless, I strongly suspect that illegals, as well as some legal non-citizens, simply declare that they are citizens and vote anyway, in many cases via so-called provisional ballots. As one state official and a Democrat stated, we count every vote. And indeed, it certainly looks like they do. Why else would Democrats in the state be so opposed to voter ID laws? We'll look a little closer at the situation in California later in this broadcast. Here's some audio from an interview published February 8th on YouTube by Judicial Watch with its president, Tom Fitton, in which Fitton talks about millions of invalid voter registrations and estimates that large numbers of non-citizens voted illegally in the 2016 and 2018 elections. Will you please play soundbite 2?
Voter integrity is a big issue for Judicial Watch. We have this Election Integrity Project. And federal law allows individuals and groups like Judicial Watch who are aggrieved to sue states over their failure to take reasonable steps to clean up the election rolls, because we found in states like California, they have more people on the rolls than are eligible to vote. So we successfully sued in Ohio. We had a settlement. In Indiana, we sued. Indiana, you know, did what we needed them to do, so we ended the lawsuit. In Kentucky, I think it was one of the worst states, believe it or not. The Republican-controlled state, largely, had more people on the rolls than were eligible to vote. And these are people who would otherwise be, and it's my view, dirty voting rolls can mean dirty elections. So nationally, there are 3.5 million, our great Judicial Watch lawyers and investigators found, 3.5 million extra names on the rolls than are eligible to vote. And 1.56 million of them, we confirmed, are in Los Angeles County. So we sued Los Angeles County and the state of California over that massive problem. And they settled and they agreed to remove up to 1.56 million inactive names, which are names that shouldn't be there, off the rolls over the next few years. So we've cut the problem potentially in half just with that one successful settlement. But on top of that, there's this news out of Texas, which is related, which is that you had up to 100,000 illegal aliens or aliens registered to vote illegally. And of those, up to 60,000 or so may have voted. And that's in one state. Pennsylvania announces 11,000 names, potentially, aliens on the rolls who should not be there who could be voting. So not only is voter fraud real, but it's potentially very real in a sense of having aliens unlawfully present and lawfully present here registered to vote. And I've calculated, because there's this study, I don't know if you've seen it, Bruce, out of Old Dominion University. We've talked about it extensively here at Judicial Watch. And it's a numbers game. You've got XX million numbers of illegal aliens and just aliens who are here lawfully. They have green cards. And a percentage of them are going to register to vote, both in a knowingly criminal way and accidentally. And of those, a percentage are going to vote. And they vote in large enough numbers to influence elections. It makes sense. And when you look at the numbers from this study, you extrapolate them, for instance, to 2016, I'd estimate about 1.2 million aliens voted in the presidential elections, 80% of which tend to vote Democrat. So Hillary Clinton got 80% of those votes. If you look at them in 2018, those numbers, given the turnout, I'd estimate you had 900,000 aliens unlawfully vote in the midterm elections. And when you see the Texas numbers, Bruce, and the Pennsylvania numbers, The Justice Department's got to get on the ball and investigate what's going on. So is the DOJ doing anything about this? Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. States are beginning to prosecute voter fraud more aggressively. You may have U.S. attorneys who are now prosecuting voter frauds now and again. But I would suggest, obviously, when you find voter fraud, you prosecute it. But given this kind of the sheer volume numbers that I'm talking about, the Justice Department has got to get a handle on the problem by doing a deep dive into the numbers of voter registrations, who's on the voter registration rolls nationally, compare and contrast them with the lists they have of aliens who are here, both legally and illegally, and see where there's a meet, where they meet, and see if there's a real, if the problem is as significant as I suggest. But but short of that, it shows the urgent need not only for voter ID, but for citizenship verification. And the left hates citizenship verification. They hate voter ID. And that, to me, tells me the left wants aliens to vote illegally, and they want to be able to steal elections if necessary.
$1.2 million non-citizens illegally voting in 2016 and 900,000 in 2018. As I said, the issue of vote fraud and non-citizens voting are serious. There's increasing evidence for it, and it needs to be addressed, I say, on a federal level. I would agree with Mr. Fitton. Here's another YouTube video with Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton on the Christian Broadcasting Network interviewing him to discuss election integrity and how dirty voting rolls, as he had stated earlier, can mean dirty elections. Will you please play soundbite 3?
Well, at least 3.5 million more people are on U.S. election rolls than are eligible to vote. That's according to our next guest, Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch, who joins us now. Tom, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Tom, talk to us about your Election Integrity Project. 3.5 million people, that is roughly the size of Connecticut.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. When you look at those registered to the vote and then you compare and contrast those numbers with people actually eligible to vote, you come up with the 3.5 million individuals spread out across the 50 states. Now, some states it's worse than others. You know, we sued, for instance, the state of Kentucky. It resulted in a consent decree requiring Kentucky to take reasonable steps to clean up their rolls, because in places like Kentucky, you had significantly larger numbers of people on the rolls than were actually living there and eligible to vote. California and Los Angeles is a major issue as well. They didn't seem to be removing anyone from the rolls. And that's what happens. You get dirty voting rolls. You get these extraordinary numbers of people who are on the rolls who shouldn't be there. And that's a recipe potentially for fraud.
Tom, I know Judicial Watch went state by state, and you just mentioned California, which comprised about half of the 3.5 million voters. And in Colorado, I believe that there's 160,000 ghost voters, and that's enough to flip a battleground state like Colorado. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's the danger of having these extra names out there, because if people know there are names there who have died or moved away or otherwise ineligible, they potentially can vote in their names, and that's where you get the fraud, especially in states that allow wide access to mail-in ballots or early voting, where people don't have to show up in person to vote, or in states where there's no voter ID required, no ID required in order to vote, or the ID requirements are so minimal that it makes them practically useless.
Yeah. So, Tom, who's to blame here?
The Justice Department for not enforcing the law. That's beginning the change under the Trump administration. The federal law requires states to take reasonable steps to clean up the rolls. But first and foremost are the states and election officials there themselves that can't be bothered to follow the law. Now, things are changing because of Judicial Watch. We're out there alerting states to these dirty voting rolls, and many of the states are taking steps to clean them up, even without our having to sue, which is great.
Well, Tom, you just alluded to it. So what are some of the secretaries of state doing, of these states doing to clean up their voter rolls?
Well, you know, some of them join multi-state systems that allow them to cross-check with other states to make sure that a person in one jurisdiction hasn't moved to another. And if they're registered more than one place, they can figure out that's a problem and remove them from their state registration rolls. For instance, if you're in Ohio, you move to Florida, and the person's registered in Florida and registered in Ohio, you cross-check, and the person shouldn't be able to be registered in both places, and the person's removed from one of the locations. By having those multi-state check, cross-check platforms, that's a big plus. And the other issue is just sending out mailings. Hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. Are you still there? and relying on that response and making sure that people who aren't showing up to vote, you're in contact with them to make sure they're still interested potentially in voting and want to remain registered.
Now, following up on this, here are some excerpts from an interesting article that ran on the nationalreview.com website over 2 years ago on August 11th, 2017 by DeRoy Murdoch. It's titled Ghost Voters. At least 3.5 million more people are on the U.S. election rolls and are eligible to vote, says the headline. And the article says some 3.5 million more people are registered to vote in the U.S. than are alive among America's adult citizens. Such staggering accuracy is an engraved invitation to voter fraud. The Election Integrity Project of Judicial Watch, a Washington-based legal watchdog group, analyzed data from the U.S. Census Bureau's 2011 to 2015 American Community Survey and last month's statistics from the Federal Election Assistance Commission. The latter included figures provided by 38 states. According to Judicial Watch, 11 states gave the EAC insufficient or questionable information. Pennsylvania's Pennsylvania's legitimate numbers place it just below the over-registration threshold. The author says, my tabulation of Judicial Watch's state-by-state results, 462 counties where the registration rate exceeded 100%. There were 3,551,760 more people registered to vote than adult U.S. citizens who inhabit these counties. That's enough over-registered voters to populate a ghost state about the size of Connecticut, Judicial Watch attorney Robert Popper told me. These 462 counties, 18.5% of the 2,500 exhibit the ghost voter problem. These range from 101% registration in Delaware's Newcastle County to New Mexico's Harding County, where there are 62% more registered voters than living, breathing adult citizens, or a 160% registration rate. Washington's Clark County is worrisome, given its 154% registration rate. This includes 166,811 ghost voters. Georgia's Fulton County seems less nettlesome at 108% registration, except for the number of greater Atlanteans, 52,172, who compose that figure. But California's San Diego County earns the enchilada grande. Its 138% registration translates into 810,966 ghost voters. Los Angeles County's 112% rate equals 707,475 over-registrations. Beyond the official data that it received, Judicial Watch reports that L.A. County employees informed us that the total number of registered voters now stands at a number that is a whopping 144% of the total number of resident citizens of voting age. All told, California is a veritable haunted house, teeming with 1.736 million ghost voters. That is 1,736,556 ghost voters. Judicial Watch last week wrote Democratic Secretary of State Alex Padilla and authorities in 11 Golden State counties and documented how their election records are in shambles. California's voting rolls are an absolute mess. That undermines the very idea of clean elections, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton in a statement. It's urgent that Californians take reasonable steps to clean up its rolls. We will sue if state officials fail to act. Ronald Reagan's California has devolved into a reliably far-left stronghold. While pristine voter rolls should be given in a constitutional republic, should be a given in a constitutional republic with democratic elections, even that improvement might be too little to make America's most populous and most populous state competitive in presidential elections. The same cannot be said for battleground states, in which the Electoral College votes can be decided by incredibly narrow margins. Consider the multitude of ghost voters in the following states: Colorado, 159,373; Florida, 100,782; Iowa, 31,077; Michigan, 225,235; New Hampshire, 8,211; North Carolina, 189,721; Virginia, 89,979. When you have an extremely large number of state names, stale names on the voter rolls in a county, it makes voter fraud much easier to commit, said Secretary of State Chris Kobach, R. Kansas, co-chairman of President Trump's Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. It's easier to identify a large number of names of people who have moved away or are deceased. At that point, if there is no photo ID requirement in the state, those identities can be used to vote fraudulently, he said. And the article goes on. There's some pretty interesting material there. There's even more interesting material, in another one here from themarketswork.com. This was published late last year, October 31, 2018, just before the midterm elections, which saw the Democrats sweep into control of the House of Representatives and make gains in local and state elections across the country. This article is part of the author Jeff Carlson's ongoing series at the Epoch Times. The article's title is Voter Fraud Real? A Look at California's Illegal Voter Registration Problem. Ever since the 2016 election, presidential elections, the topic of voter fraud has gained more attention, it says. This was especially so following President Donald Trump's statement that if it were not for illegal voting, he would have won, in addition to the electoral vote, the popular vote as well. Trump won the election with 304 electoral votes to Clinton's 227. Clinton won the popular vote, however, by a 2.8 million margin, or 65,853,516 votes to 62,984,825 votes for Trump. Now, this varies somewhat from Rush Limbaugh was talking about, but I believe these are more accurate figures. I don't know where he gets his figures for, but continuing on with the article, if we look closer at the numbers, though, some interesting information emerges. Clinton's margin of victory in California was 4.3 million votes, or 61.7%. This number dramatically exceeded the 53.5% margin in her other winning states. She received a total of 8,753,788 votes from California, nearly double the total of Trump's 4,483,810 votes. To illustrate how much California numbers count, and if one looks just at the popular vote in the rest of the nation, Trump would have won the popular vote by 1.4 million votes. Outside of California, Trump received 58,501,015 votes to Clinton's 57,099,728 votes. Following the election, President Trump called for an investigation of voter fraud. His call was met with massive resistance, typified in a New York Times editorial board response headlined, "The Vote Fraud Fantasy." Quote, there are varying degrees of absurdity in the fallacies President Trump peddled during his first week in the Oval Office, the Times editorial states. Perhaps the most damaging was his insistence that millions of Americans voted illegally in the election he narrowly won. In January 2018, after Trump shut down the election commission he had appointed to investigate fraud, citing endless legal battles and taxpayer expense, the president called for voter ID laws. The New York Times claimed victory, noting that, quote, no state has uncovered significant evidence to support the president's claim, and election officials, including many Republicans, have strongly rejected it, close quote. The article continues, in reality, many states had refused to hand over data to the election commission. And this is supposed to be publicly available information. It's surprisingly difficult to find good information on voter roll registration. The article continues, one of the most widely cited sources is a 2012 Pew study which found the following problem with America's voter rolls. Approximately 24 million, one out of every eight voter registrations in the United States are no longer valid or are significantly inaccurate. More than 1.8 million deceased individuals are listed as voters. Approximately 2.75 million people have registrations in more than one state. The numbers are concerning as currently only seven states have strict photo ID requirements to vote. The breakdown of states and their requirements are detailed by the National Conference of State Legislatures. Strict photo ID required Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Strict non-photo ID required, Arizona, North Dakota, and Ohio. Non-strict photo ID required, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Hawaii, Idaho, Louisiana, Michigan, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and Texas. Non-strict, non-photo ID required, Alaska, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Iowa, Kentucky, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, Washington, and West Virginia. No ID required to vote at the ballot box. California, District of Columbia, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and Wyoming. Now, if you'll recall, many of those states were won by Clinton and the Democrats. The article continues, the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch is currently engaging in an election integrity project, and it estimates that 3.5 million more people are on the U.S. election rolls than are eligible to vote, as was stated earlier. When you look at those registered to vote and you compare and contrast those numbers with people actually eligible to vote, you come up with 3.5 million individuals spread out across the 50 states, Judicial Watch says in a statement on its website. According to the group's numbers, California holds approximately half of the additional voters, with an estimated 1.7 million ghost voters. And it goes on to talk about AB 60, the law that allows illegal aliens to get driver's licenses. And it talks about – it states that state officials chose not to make non-citizen license holders searchable in the DMV database. This specific provision by itself opens the doors to illegal voter registration as the driver's license becomes indistinguishable online. On October 10, 2015, California Governor Jerry Brown signed the Motor Voter Act that automatically registered to vote every eligible California citizen who goes to a DMV office to get a driver's license or a new one. California is one of 13 states, along with the District of Columbia, that have passed automatic voter registration. Alaska, California, Colorado, District of Columbia, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington, and West Virginia. Automatic voter registration makes voter registration opt out instead of opt in. Eligible citizens who interact with government agencies such as the DMV are registered to vote or have their existing registration information updated unless they affirmatively decline. And it goes on, it talks about the California National Voter Registration Act manual, in which it states that it's easy for the person to declare themselves a citizen. They won't be checked. They can also decline the state whether they are or not, and in many cases the state appears to go ahead and process them and register them to vote. Anyway, the article continues, but the process doesn't end there. If the voter indicates by checking the no box that he or she is not a U.S. citizen, the registration may not be entered on the voter rolls. The election officials should send the voter a returnable card or letter requesting clarification as to whether or not the voter is a U.S. citizen. If the voter returns the card indicating that he or she is a U.S. citizen, the VRC should be entered on the voter rolls. If the card is returned and the voter indicates he or she is not a citizen, or if no response is received from the voter, then the voter shall not be registered. If the voter decides not to check either the yes or no box, do not process the registration. This is what the manual is saying. A prior version of the document was even more lenient, stating that if the voter does not check either the yes or no box, then the registration is otherwise complete. The registration should be processed normally and entered on the voter rolls. Now, according to the Department of Homeland Security, in the most recent data provided, the article continues, 12.1 million unauthorized immigrants were living in the United States in January 2014. California remained the leading state of residence of the unauthorized immigrant population in 2014 with 2.9 million, nearly 25% of that total number. Interestingly, the numbers from the DHS had changed little from their prior 2012 study when they provided an estimate of 2.83 million illegal immigrants residing in California. And it goes on to state that according to a September 2018 study published by the journal PLOS One, there are roughly 22.1 million illegal immigrants in the United States. As the authors note, even using extremely conservative parameters, we estimate a population of 16.7 million undocumented immigrants. Shortly before the 2016 election, President Barack Obama had encouraged illegal immigrants to vote. That let non-citizens know that they stood little chance of being caught if they voted. Well, there's a lot more material on this I'd like to talk about. We're running out of time today. It is important that we pursue this thing. If the political right, if Republicans are going to regain control of the House of Representatives and the Senate, improve their lead in the Senate, as well as electing Donald Trump president again in 2020. There's a daunting task ahead for us, and this is an important part of it, is ensuring election integrity. I would encourage everyone to write their congresspeople and urge them to vote for this thing, this sort of thing, in the coming months. Despite this, no doubt many people will vote for the left, and that's why we need to get as many – we need on the right need to look for all the ways we can to get our message out about what Republicans really are about. We need pro-Trump Republicans, that is. There's a big need for better access to media outlets so that Republicans can better get their message out to the American people. And part of this would be a major effort to expose the corruption and hypocrisy of the political left to the American people as well, and that would include, of course, voter fraud. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks for listening. Look for us in 2 weeks from today at 5 p.m. Pacific time. I hope you enjoyed the show. Good night.